Andrew, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Little ones will
How are
be
you?
home shortly. I'm good. Clients are doing
Good.
pretty good. Yeah, man, can't complain.
Nice. Brian, good to see you on here, man. See you there. How's the first couple of days been,
Hey.
man?
Hey. Great. Andrew's taking good care of me.
Good, man. Andrew's amazing.
Yeah, I'm off to a little slow start, but he's really helping me out a lot.
Why do you say that?
Slow start. Well, I kind of had a balk today where I didn't sleep last night and got up late, got behind, broke my routine, didn't make it to the gym, and it just threw me off my schedule, and I'm bouncing back and still plan on getting to the gym tonight just to make sure I get it in today, you know?
What are you
What did
doing?
I?
I
What's that? What's that?
what did I say when you sent me that, Brian?
To just get out the door and at least do something cardio, but to get out the door and regroup.
Yeah. So where do you live, Brian?
Corpus Christi, Texas, South
So
Texas.
it's still one, it's probably still sunny outside, right? Still bright outside and still probably still light outside, or like not
There's,
cold. Go do your
yeah.
walk. Like I suggest everyone do these calls walking, man. There's no reason for you guys to be sitting. Like if you guys are able, go out and get walking, man. Like we can have you guys all walk and be on the calls. I'd love to be doing the same thing, being honest, but I think everyone would get pissed off because you wouldn't be able to hear me. But yeah, if you guys are able, get out there and move. Do your cardio. I mean, whenever possible, walk outside, run outside. Don't do your shit indoors if possible. All right, I appreciate you making the time to be here. Just so I'll say that. And like, I'll never be offended if you guys are outside walking or riding a bike or something. And as we said that, Dave shows up. Dave's doing the treadmill. All right, guys. So rather than wasting any time, I'll get right into it. So actually, Andrew, any client wins you want to share from your group this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's always like a few new faces. Again, me and Brian, roughly like relatively first week. So again, feels good. Same with Renee. Actually, Renee's on the call, so I'm excited to get rolling with Renee.
Yeah, I recognize that face. Good to see you, Renee.
Richard Davies, you could see him right there. He's working, but he's listening in. Like he's always just the guy bats 100%. So I just want to acknowledge him. Another client, Nick Lush, I think is how you say his last name. For the month of November, he wanted to get to 170 pounds. Last week, he told me he hit 171 and his photos are looking nice, so that was good. And then another quick shout out would probably be Josh Sutcliffe, who his photos are coming along quite well and he's putting on muscle, so he's doing well.
Yeah, so anyone who's new, welcome. I see Alex is there, Matt, Renee. I know you're not really new, but are new. So welcome back to the family, man. Andrew, got a bunch of new faces here. So the first thing I'll say, guys, as we end up November, and December is going to be the hardest one to do this, but one of the things we like to do internally is the coaches are all competing, and so we're competing to see who can get the best transformations of the month. And so we want everyone to win, right? The coaches are very competitive with each other. We talk a little smack behind the scenes, and we're all trying to help you win. So it helps us be more motivated to get you guys in shape. Like we're motivated anyways because we care, but we really want to lean in on like helping you guys get what you need. So the point of these calls is not for me to come on here and talk to you guys. It's for me to come on here and ultimately hold nothing back, right? So the kind of the framing of our community in 2024 is nothing held back. And so that means if you guys have a question, if I can support you, regardless of what the question is, we're going to do it. And we're going to jump into the Facebook group and support. We're going to jump into the Telegram group more and support. We're going to be on here to hold nothing back for what you guys need to get your goal. And so I want everyone to know, I mean, I say this every time I get on here, but sometimes you or we as humans don't know our own capability. We don't know what we're capable of. And I say the reason I've become a successful coach over time is I can see what you're capable of more than you could see what you're capable of. And I can learn to, I can teach you to learn to unwind or remove all those negative beliefs or the limiting beliefs and start to release really what's possible. And that starts with just like, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about what you think is possible. You just have to execute. And sometimes our minds are a limiting factor, and our minds like, oh, I can't do this. It's going to be too much. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. It's going to be hard. All this bullshit story of your limiting belief trying to keep you safe. It's your ego trying to keep you safe, right? Your ego is there to protect you. It's a wonderful thing, but at the same time, it sometimes it becomes a limiter. So I want you guys to know, just like, just execute, just execute. All the veterans in the group, if you guys see the people posting in the Telegram group, they're like, hey man, just listen to what your coach says. Just listen to what your coach says. And I'll just reinforce that. Cause like we, as coaches, you know, Andrew's been with us for a couple of years now. And like, we all go through ridiculous amounts of training. Like every week we're learning, every day we're learning, we're getting better on top of working with incredible clients and getting incredible results. So like, I have complete confidence in our ability to get a result. And the only thing that's holding us all back is our own limiting beliefs, right? So like, if we say, hey, I want to make $1 billion in a year, there's someone out there who can show you how to make $1 billion. It may or may not be possible for you in that time frame, but you know, someone might be able to lay the foundation for you to like, hey, go do exactly this. You know, and that's kind of what we're doing here, is we're trying to show you, hey, there's a path no matter where you're going. And so one of the challenges that a lot of us face, as ironically, Brian just shared with us, some of the challenges we face are sometimes we wake up and we slept poorly. And sometimes we wake up and we feel like shit. And sometimes we wake up and we're tired. And sometimes we wake up late. And sleep, gentlemen, is without a doubt an enormous lever in your ability to transform your body. Not just because sleep helps to burn fat or build muscle. It does those things. But sleep massively impacts your state of mind. Sleep massively impacts your state of body. And the body and mind are inextricably linked. You can't separate the body and the mind. So when you start thinking about, well, how important is my sleep? Don't neglect your sleep. And so sometimes it's hard to go, yeah, I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. But you know, guys, sometimes you got to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And sometimes you got to wake up at 4:30, right? And so one thing I'll say to you is nothing you're doing now needs to be forever. So I think some people get in this mindset of like, oh, I'm not willing to do that. Well, if you set a goal, you're willing to do whatever the fuck it takes, right? That's the point of a goal. That's the point of commitment. And so the point of our community is we commit. And so we set a goal, and you've set a goal. By being here, you're expressing your goal. And it's our responsibility to say, hey, this is what it takes. And your job is to follow through and commit. So what I'll say is, if you have to go to bed at 9 o'clock for the next 3 months, or you know, 5 days a week for the next 3 months, you're doing it, right? Do it. And then after that, you can decide, you know what, guys, that wasn't worth it. I didn't enjoy it, but at least I proved to myself that I can do it. Right? That's all you're doing in this, guys. That's all we're doing in life. Is like, there's only one person in the world that knows. There's only one person in the world that cares. It's you, right? Nobody else cares if you lie about what time you go to bed, or if you don't go to bed on time. Like, at the end of the day, we're here to care about you. But if you don't care about yourself, you're not going to fall through. So my call to action, my call to arms of today is like, just commit, man. It doesn't have to be forever. Commit to 3 months, commit to 6 months, commit to 12 months, whatever that happens to be. This community is very much about leaning in on commitment. We support each other on commitment, and we just want to be the best version of ourselves. And remember, any decision you make doesn't have to be permanent, but you are reinforcing your belief in yourself, self-respect. How many of you guys care about your own self-respect? Nobody? Yeah, fucking right, right? I want to respect myself. I want to know that when something comes out of my mouth, I know it's going to be true, and everyone else starts to believe it's going to be true as well, right? I think at the end of the day, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I think that's what every man unconsciously or consciously craves. We all want to be respected by each other. We want to be desired by women or by our partner. And it's all just like respect, right? It all comes, like, women want to be loved. I think men want to be respected. You guys agree with that? Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you like, you want love? You're like, yeah, maybe I want love. Like, I didn't know what the fuck love was until I was 30 years old. I had no idea. Like, what does that mean? I never received love. Like, I want to be respected. And so there you go. There's a book called Love and Respect, Sarah just said in the chat. I think that's the reality. And so respect starts with self. So if you guys don't already have a respect for yourself, respect is as simple as set a commitment and follow through. And so the reason that comes up is, love, man, love is awesome. You know, especially in certain ways you like to be loved, right? We all like to be loved in our own special ways, which is great. But at the end of the day, we crave respect. So the reason this comes up is sometimes it's new to set a new habit. Sometimes I won't say it's hard because I think it's bullshit, but I think sometimes it's new. It's like, oh man, I got to get up at 5 a.m. Oh, that sucks. Everything is hard until it's not. Everything that is now easy was once hard, including walking, including speaking, including writing. Everything that is now easy was once hard. So whatever it takes to get you to where you want to go, you're going to follow through on. And is it going to be hard? Yes. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to flip your mindset and go, fuck yeah, I get to do this. I get to help myself. I get to be healthy. I get to commit to myself and my own self-respect. So the reason that I'm leading down this path is sometimes the key to improve sleep is not just what you do in the bed, it's what you do in the morning. So having an effective morning routine to establish your nervous system, establish your what's called your circadian rhythm, your circadian biology, is an integral, imperative part of successful sleeping. So during the, or in the title for today's call was how to master the skill of sleep. And I use those words very intentionally, how to master the skill of sleep. And not everyone thinks of sleep as a skill. Sleep is kind of something you do. Sleep, just like anything else in life or most things in life, just like squatting and riding a bike, is a skill. And you can learn it and you can unlearn it. Maybe more accurately, it's just absolutely a skill, but maybe it's a habit, right? So we create habits. And so if we create the habit of going to bed late, then it's going to be hard to go to sleep early. If we have the habit of getting up late, it's going to be hard to wake up early. If we have the habit of waking up in the night and fucking around on our phone, then it's going to be hard to not do that. You guys have to realize every single thing you're doing is either reinforcing a good skill that's going to be positive and move you in the direction that you want to go, or it's going to be negative and move you away from the person you want to become, right? Every single thing you do. You guys with me so far? Yeah. So when it comes to sleep, I'm going to walk you through a few basic, what I call high impact habits for sleep. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do when we wake up in the morning, we're going to establish an effective nervous system. So here, I'll give you an example. I wake up every morning and I go for a walk or go to the gym every morning. Walk is an intense walk, often a jog, but every morning. And I didn't this morning because I had some other stuff going on. But you know what I did instead? I turned on some of my favorite music and I ran up and down the stairs. I did some push-ups. I danced. I did some jumping jacks. I did some posing. I got my heart rate up for a good 15 minutes right before I went in the shower. Not because I was like, oh, that's not, I know it's not the same as cardio. I know it's not the same as going to the gym. But I committed to like, I'm going to move my body, right? So I get up in the morning. I always move my body. I always get some type of light exposure. So as soon as I know the sun's coming up, my phone or my phone, but my watch has the timing of the sunrise. So I'll commit to going outside for 10 minutes within 30 to 40 minutes of the sun rising. Sometimes my business meetings get in the way. That's okay. As soon as the first meeting's done, get outside. 10 minutes looking, just go for a walk. 2 blocks and you got 10 minutes around walking in the sun. And so what we do in the morning is probably as important or more important to our sleep than what we do before we go to bed. Okay. So establishing that caloric expenditure in the morning starts to increase the body's production of cortisol. Cortisol is an energy hormone that ultimately mobilizes energy so we can be more effective during the day. Why do we want to do that? Well, that's what tells our body when to be awake. It starts the sleep-wake cycle, right? We want to be awake in the morning. Cortisol does that. And if you don't get that cortisol spike during the day, you don't wake up. Your body, it doesn't know when to be awake, like half awake, half asleep. And then when it comes time to sleep, which is supposed to be about 16 hours later, the body doesn't yet get that signal because that cortisol and that sunshine in the morning are the signal to start off the body's kind of like daytime processes. Does that make sense? Okay. Who's got questions? Alex, you got me so far? Okay. Brian, you following? Okay. So what am I going to do every day when I wake up? Even if it's 5 minutes, we all shower in the morning. I hope we all brush our teeth, commit to moving push-ups, squats, jumping jacks, get your heart rate above 130 beats every morning. Without question. And if you can't get to the gym, you do that. If you can, go. If you can, if it's walking, great. If it's riding a bike, great. Right? Find something to do that gets your heart rate up above 130 beats for at least 5 minutes. That's your target. That's enough of a stimulus to get your circadian rhythm kicked off. The sunshine or the sunlight in your eyes, or even just bright light in your eyes, will kickstart the circadian biology. That's imperative to successful sleep. Okay, I'm going to close the chapter on the morning routine. We can talk more about that if you guys want. We're going to fast forward to the first meal of the day, or maybe all the meals of the day. So some of us live a life that's constantly in gas pedal, right? So as an example, there's days when I wake up, and it certainly still sometimes happens, where you don't ever consciously allow your nervous system to slow down. Has anyone ever experienced a day where you're just going full speed the whole day? From the time you wake up to the time it's time to go to bed, you're going all day. Yeah. So you're basically asking your nervous system to go gas pedal, right? Like, put the accelerator down, let's go. And then it comes to the end of the day and you go, okay, body, now let's go to sleep. Like, you're drinking coffee all day, you're smashing energy drinks, you know, doing God knows what else. And all of a sudden you go, okay, body, I want you to turn off at the end of the day. The body goes, I don't know how to do it. Anybody have racing mind before bed? Yeah, right. Right. So there's a couple of reasons why that happens, but the primary one is the absence of control of your nervous system, right? So your nervous system, think of it like the wiring in your house, that takes information from the brain but it's two-way street, from the brain to the senses, and from the senses to the brain. There's this wiring, right? And that wiring can be either tightly wound, like a tight guitar string, or loosely wound. And right, most of us are too tightly wound. And so we want to dial back that nervous system a little bit, dial back the guitar strings. And how do we do that? Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out as slowly as you can. Three seconds in, 10 seconds out. Bringing yourself into the present moment will completely shift the state of your nervous system. There's probably 3 to 5 breaths is all you need to change the state of your nervous system. Okay, so I've given you guys 2 action items to hack your sleep. 1, master your morning. 2, 3 to 5 breaths. And the way I do it is I punctuate my day around my meals. Okay. Third thing we're going to do is we're going to own what happens 3 hours before bed. So if you know your bedtime, it should be relatively consistent. You start to understand, okay, well, I'm normally sleeping by 10 p.m. That means by 7 p.m., I need to own my day. What happens after owning my day? I turn off all the overhead lights in my house, or I switch to what's called Edison light bulbs. If you guys have questions about that, you can ask. Edison light bulbs are kind of a yellow light, so they're not as stimulating. And it's still, you still want it to be in a lamp, not overhead. You want it to be low trajectory light and an Edison bulb, which is more on the orange and yellow spectrum. And you start turning off your phone, start turning off your computer. Yes, you can use blue blocking glasses. They're very useful. They do work. So if you're someone who's got to read, it's a lamp, it's an Edison bulb with a low trajectory, with a low amount of lumens. And that's it. Like, if you just start doing that, light is probably the single biggest thing that's killing everyone's sleep. The overexposure of these artificial LEDs. Okay. And when it comes to the bedroom of sleeping, guys, you know this shit by now, but I'll repeat it. It's like, it's gotta be dark. And if you don't, if it's not dark, wear some eye goggles, right? Some blockers, whatever, some light, you know, the things that we wear over your eyes. I don't know how you call them. Goggles. Eye mask. Wear an eye mask. If you're not already wearing mouth tape, piece of mouth tape across your mouth like this will do wonders to your sleep. And if you guys have never heard of this before, all you need is some surgical tape. It costs $3 from Walgreens or wherever you are in the world. You put a piece that's about an inch and a half long this way, mouth closed, you're going to sleep through the night exponentially more effectively. Your deep sleep goes up. If anyone has additional problems in sleep, I want you to ask questions, because there's a hack, there's a way around everything. I've been studying sleep with the best sleep experts for the last 10 years. So if there's any of you guys want to understand. So to summarize, own your morning, punctuate your day with some relaxing breathing, and then own your night. That's it. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not, right? And these are things that need to become habitual over time. Who's got questions about sleep? Matt, what you got?
Yeah, I sleep like crap. And I wind up usually waking up at 2 or 3 a.m. pretty hard. And it's hard for me to fall back to sleep.
Who's your coach, Matt?
Dan, out of the UK.
Yep. Okay. What do you know your blood pressure?
No, I do not.
Find out.
Okay.
Find out. Did you guys testing to start?
I haven't started lab testing yet. I think my
is that something you're open to doing?
Yeah.
I would strongly suggest it.
Okay.
Yeah. When was the last time you did blood with your physician?
I worked with OptHealth. I did a couple, 3 months ago.
Okay. That's probably a good start. Was anything on that lab that stood out to you as needing to be addressed?
Everything looked okay. Again, hematocrits tend to get a little high every 3 to 6 months, and so I got to dump blood.
You taking testosterone?
Yes, I am.
How much?
CC a week.
Like 200 milligrams? Mm-hmm. You take it once a week or multiple times a week?
Twice a week. Split it in half.
Okay. Can you do 3 times a week?
Sure.
Like, so it's take the whole dose divided by 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Do you have a supplement routine yet or supplement regimen?
I have stuff that I've been taking from OptHealth. Again, I'm not trying to sell OptHealth here. But so I've got magnesium, right. I've got vitamin D, vitamin B, zinc. And I don't take the melatonin because it usually gives me depression.
Yeah, don't take melatonin. How much magnesium are you taking?
4 capsules a day, and I don't know what the dosage on the capsules are.
Okay. You take those at night?
Yes. Before bed.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to see those labs, man. Send them through. I'll take a look. I'll have the team take a look, and we'll see if there's anything that stands out as opportunities.
Okay.
First thing that I come to when somebody says I'm sleeping like shit all the time is cortisol could be high, adrenaline could be high, blood pressure could be high, right?
Last time I checked the BP, I don't recall what it was, but it was an acceptable range for the physician. Cortisol is probably high, and stress levels are probably kind of high. I'm wired.
What was your body weight?
227.
What do you want to be?
I'm fine at 227. I just don't like the size of my waist.
Yeah.
So maybe 220. What's your
resting heart rate?
Resting heart rate is around 60.
Okay. We got to get the resting heart rate under 50. And we got to get your
roll. Okay.
Doesn't matter, man. It's got to happen. So, and it's absolutely possible.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the target. So like a healthy person your age, man, it's going to have resting heart rate in the high 40s and low 50s.
Okay.
And that's going to change your sleep. So do you wear an Oura ring or how do you check your heart rate?
Yeah, Oura ring.
What's your respiration rate? Can you check the app?
Yeah, let me take a look at that. Is it in the sleep section or where is that?
Yep.
Sleep. Okay. Yep.
So it should be under recovery, actually. There's like a recovery section.
Oh, okay, got it. So my readiness score was not great today. Lowest heart rate was 59 last night. 10 HRV is 10, which is not good. Body temperature,
respiration rate
17.1 per minute.
Okay, so let's get that to 14 and let's get your HRV. Your HRV's got to be over 50. So, how much cardio are you doing now?
I've been having some hip problems. So, very little excuses, but very little.
Am I right in assuming that you like being big, like you like being big and muscular?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have a belief that cardio is going to make you small?
No, I've had I had a Pac-Man machine pushed over on me and I couldn't walk effectively for a while. So I had shoulder injuries. It's been kind of a tough year for that stuff. So hey, I actually
ride a bike.
I like to run.
Can you ride a bike?
Not here in Houston. I'll get killed.
No, like in the gym.
Oh, I could. I haven't tried. So maybe that's something to add to it.
Yeah, I'll talk to Coach Dan about it. But I would say if I was in your case, in your scenario, personally, I would prioritize cardiovascular training over your weight training. I know that sounds like I don't want to do that. That sounds like a bad idea. However, if you don't get your heart rate variability up, you're never going to fix your sleep and you're never going to grow. So okay. HRV is going to be a factor of like, you got to improve your aerobic fitness. So we got to get you breathing through your nose, not through your mouth. I don't know if you breathe through your mouth, but specifically when you sleep, I'm guessing you're a snorer, right?
I am a snorer and I use a CPAP because I have sleep apnea. Okay. So do you breathe through your nose?
So man, aerobic fitness is going to be clutch.
Okay.
Say again, buddy.
I use a CPAP, so I do breathe through my nose when I'm sleeping, but it's a cheat.
Hmm. Yeah, man. So just, you know, I say this because I care. You got to get your aerobic fitness up and get your HRV. Yeah. Cause like
received,
it's just going to be so important to your long-term ability to grow. And everyone in this coaching program does the same thing. Like we start off the first month, there's almost always an emphasis on improved aerobic function. Cause it's just so important to long-term ability to build your muscle. Just so important. If you don't have a high aerobic base to start, you'll never build muscle effectively. Unless you're taking a ton of steroids. Yeah. So are you open to that possibility or that
direction? I'm open to the aerobics. I'm not crazy about the steroids.
No. That's not what I was saying. I was saying some people do build a ton of muscle with a ton of steroids. Yeah. Okay. Awesome, man. Well,
that's message received. Thank you. I'll start prioritizing.
Yeah, listen, man, I just care. And I know Coach Dan's a ninja, man. He's a master. So he'll talk about it. But like, I just want to make sure that sleep gets healed. Cause that'll be the biggest. So if we think of like, if we can knock over one domino that changes all of the rest of your life, it's that. It's like, if you fix your sleep, everything else gets easier. Everything else gets better. Right. It's like the linchpin conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. So sleep gets better, man. Your body fat changes, your stress changes. Everything's just different, man. You're like, oh, this guy looks brighter today. The blue's a little more blue and the red's a little more red. You know, it's just life gets better when you sleep well. So we'll fix it. Thanks for sharing, man. Thanks for letting me talk to you, man.
Thank you.
Andy, I wake up multiple times, go back to sleep very quickly. Where's Andy? See Andy. Where'd you go? Still here?
I don't know what else to say. That's it.
Oh, there you go. Tell me about that, man. So you wake up, you gotta go pee, or you just kinda wake up, lay in bed?
No, I usually only go to the bathroom once a night, so it's not something that's extensive or like I do myriad times. I fall asleep fairly quickly. It's just that I don't know if I wake up because maybe my shoulder's sore. Maybe I just had to switch position. But I probably wake up, you know, 3 or 4 times a night. And probably I fall asleep, though, within minutes. It's not like I'm laying there just, you know, my mind pondering on things and thinking about different things. But it's been going on for probably, I don't know, like at least a decade now. It's just something that I do. I mean, like I said, I don't feel unrested when I wake up. I feel well rested. I mean, I have plenty of energy, but just something that I've noticed that over the last 10 years or so, I've just tend to don't go to sleep. And then next morning, wake up. It's like, that doesn't really happen. I always wake up 3 or 4
times.
0 to 100.
What's your stress level, Andy?
Minimal.
How's your mobility?
Mobility? I would say it's good. I mean, I do, you know, different types of stretches and some yoga and stuff like that daily. I walk every day. And my exercise every day, obviously too. So like resistance training 3 days a week, hit training 2 days a week. So 2 or 3 days a week. So my mobility, awesome. I think, is there.
No anxiety or anything like that?
No. No.
Beautiful.
Not that I know of. unless it's subconscious.
Yeah, the reason most people wake up is there's like a high level of mental arousal, right? So it could be anxiety or something like that.
Right. Yeah. That's been posed to me too, but I don't wake up thinking about things. I don't go to bed thinking about things. You just refer to circadian rhythms and stuff like that. That's exactly what I do. I go to bed at the same time every night. It's dark. It's cool. Dark at night. I wake up in the morning. First thing I do is open my window, look out the window, get that light. You know, I do my, like you said, I walk, I do some push-ups or something before I even start my routine.
Have you done labs recently?
I just joined the program about an hour ago.
Amazing. Okay.
I met with Matija. So, and he suggested that was the right program for me because I had joined the – I had tried the Max-T. I had actually had email exchanges with you over the last few days, and he suggested that the Max-T may not be the appropriate vehicle to achieve my objectives, my prior objectives. So he suggested this program, so I figured I'd give it a go.
One thing I would – there's two things I would suggest you do. Doing your DNA – and this is, everyone listen up for this one. Like, doing your DNA is incredibly useful. Doing your DNA is about $150 to get your complete genome done. And there's a lot you can tell from your genome. And I'll tell you why I specifically brought this up for you, Andy. There's multiple pathways in the body, like biochemical pathways, that if not effectively supported, can cause different circumstances to arise. And I'll give you an example. So the primary excitatory neurotransmitter in the brain is called glutamate. And glutamate is very much like the gas pedal, right? Glutamate's like, we're going to go fast. Glutamate's making things go fast. And its antagonist is called GABA. And so glutamate actually converts into GABA with this enzyme called the GAD enzyme, GID enzyme. And if we don't support the GAD enzyme, so some people genetically have really effective GAD enzyme. Some people have ineffective GAD enzyme. Why does that matter? Well, if my brain is active during the day and I don't have enough of this GAD enzyme, then my body doesn't produce enough GABA and I don't ever get to like have full deep restful sleep. And there's different what's called phenotypes of genetic expression at all these different levels of biochemistry. So I would suggest, you know, if first start off with labs, like blood, urine, stool, all that stuff. Second, to be honest, you could do DNA as well at the same time.
Yep.
But I strongly suggest checking it out, man. Cause like it's a big, big difference maker when you know how to interpret it. And I'll say this, we have a geneticist we work with. We can get these custom reports relatively cheaply. And you're like, oh shit, there's a lot of really cool stuff that we can learn from our genetics. I'll give you a ridiculous example. My body is genetically deficient in riboflavin and magnesium. How many people have heard of riboflavin? Well, we were like, what? So if I don't take riboflavin daily, my energy sucks. I feel tired. I'm like, I get brain fog. As soon as I take riboflavin, it's like somebody turned on the lights. Hmm. I was like, I could have spent the rest of my life not knowing what the hell riboflavin is and never knowing to take it. But as soon as I took it, it's like my energy is completely different. So stuff like that, man. And it could be just like, oh, just take this thing and all of a sudden you sleep 1,000 times better.
Okay.
So one, welcome to the program. Two, man, I'd love to support you in any way we can. And I'm sure whatever coach you're going to end up working with, we'll know all these things as well and know to support you.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Andy. Welcome, man. Let's see if I miss anybody here.
Hey, Ben. So,
yeah,
this is Spencer.
Yeah.
This is Spencer. My HRV has always been like 25, you know, like on average, which is stupid. You know, it's supposed to be around 50. And we've just started introducing more cardio, and I pulled back my caffeine intake to earlier, so my sleep I think has been better recently, but it hasn't seen a big increase in HRV. But we have Chris has added more cardio for me, so I have been hitting more cardio. So do you think I should just kind of wait and see how these changes develop over a little bit, you know, the next few weeks, and see if it actually makes HRV better, or do you have any other suggestions?
I do. Yeah, I got many suggestions. So HRV is not a one-step process. So if you guys don't know what HRV is, heart rate variability is really just a measure of your body's resilience to stress. The higher your HRV, the better. The lower your HRV, the ultimately less resilient you are to stress. It means you get sick more often. You can't train as hard. It's going to take more for your body to recover when your HRV is low. When your HRV is high, you have a huge recovery capacity. They call it adaptive capacity, right? A huge capacity to adapt. So Spencer, the first step in improving HRV, which is not the last step, but the first step, is start doing more cardio. And you probably want to do 3 to 5 hours a week. It sounds like a lot, but in order to get it to adapt, you got to push hard. So like 5 hours a week is like a baseline, which is, I know it sounds ridiculous. It's a lot, but like do it for 3 weeks. And then you can 3 to 4 weeks, and you can regress a little bit and then add in some more high intensity stuff. So high intensity will move the needle fast. But high intensity also requires a certain degree of recovery capacity to do well. So I would do like 3 to 4 weeks of of aerobic stuff. And no, Chris will do the same stuff, and Chris will do the same protocol. We think the same way. And then add in some high intensity. You can even add in high intensity stuff now, But I prefer to like just like stretch it out a little bit, do the aerobic base, then improve the anaerobic stuff, which is the high intensity sprints. And here's the key, man. What you do in your sprints, Spencer, what you want to watch is how quickly does my heart rate and my breathing rate come back down after it gets up. So one, does it get up fast? Can you get it up to peak heart rate quickly? And does it come back down quickly? So what we don't want to see is these like mid-level heart rates, which tends to happen in people who are getting older, unhealthy, or have heart disease. And so we want to see the heart rate go up and then come down and go up and then come down. That's heart rate variability. So I want you to be able to get to 170 beats per minute in like this. I want to see you get under 100 beats per minute like this. Now, that's not where you're going to start. It's going to take you a long time to get up. It's going to take you a long time to get down. But the goal would be the more we train that, the faster it gets up, the faster it gets down. It's a very good measure of health, fitness, and resilience.
Very good measure. And since we've been doing more cardio, when I'm gassed, it doesn't take me quite as long to recover, but it's still, you know, it's not immediate. It's definitely, you know, 5 minutes or something, you know, until I'm like not gassed.
Yep. Your brain health improve, your sexual health improve, you improve longevity, man. It's a good lever for you to pull.
He's been doing a lot of row. I think row's good.
Row's great because it's hard. It's terrible. Yeah. Chris loves to row.
It's hard. Yeah, it sucks.
No. Sucks. It's the worst.
I'm short, you know, so I got to pull 10 times.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, man.
But listen, and when it's hard, that means you're doing it right. You know, like you're leaning in on the stuff that you're not good at. That's good. Who else has got questions about sleep? Who else has got questions about anything? How else can I support you, gentlemen? Remember that the motto for 2024 and muscle intelligence, nothing held back. So you guys know we have our Costa Rica trip coming up next week. Next week. So I don't think we're going to have this call next week. Are we, Andrew, unless you're going to host the call? I don't know if we're going to host the call next week. The team will let you know because the whole team is going to be in Costa Rica doing our retreat. Anyone new to the coaching, you're still welcome to inquire about joining us in Costa Rica. We're doing 3 days of intense trip. The trip is called, or the theme of the trip is the warrior and the monk. So we're doing 3 days of intense training in San Jose, Costa Rica. And then we're going down to Uvita in the jungle. We're going to spend four days doing the monk. So the first 3 days is the warrior. The last 4 days is the monk. Guys, now that you're shot. I know it's always like, hey, what questions do you have? Nobody ever has questions on the spot, right?
Ben, I got one for you.
Yeah, Keith, what's going on, brother?
Andrew's probably told you in the odd meeting about my sleep's kind of up and down on timing. I'm usually a bit late, but of late, I don't know if it's deep sleep related, but I'm finding what's happening in my head at night is waking me up. It's not so much a thought or a worry or a stress before bed, but my sleep seems to be so light that if I have like a strange dream or something fires, like I'm awake, it's not for a long time. Then I turn over, go back to sleep. Something else comes up in like another half hour. And it's like it's been for the past 2-3 weeks. Like, I don't know if it's depth of sleep or what it is, but it's whatever's happening, which I can't control in my brain at night. Like, I'm kind of popping up and then going back to sleep. And it's like 4 or 5 times a night. And it's pretty frustrating. So I don't know if it's my deep sleep's only now kind of getting up around an hour a night, but usually it's 20, 30 minutes tops.
So there's a few things I would immediately go to, right? First thing you go to is food. Are you going to eat? Are you eating? So it's like the things that disrupt deep sleep are usually going to be food, late, alcohol, or stress, right? Like psychological burden, which is living in your subconscious mind, right? So the subconscious mind, there's things you're like, I don't know what's going on. I feel great. But then the subconscious is like, no, there's some shit you got to take care of. So you can learn to control your subconscious mind through meditation. So I'm guessing you're not eating late at night. I'm guessing, and a little bit of carbohydrate before bed might be a good thing for you, actually. So you may want to look at that. Do you ever wear like a glucose monitor to see what your blood sugar is doing? Do you have any issues with blood sugar?
No, I think unless Andrew, I wore a CGM for about 6 weeks and there was nothing that jumped out at us, I don't think.
Perfect. So yeah, then it's like, okay, if you're not eating food late at night, which I'm presuming you're not drinking alcohol late at night, then it's probably something in the subconscious mind of like some stress that's kicking up that you're worried about something or you got some big thing going on at work. And there's another thing that's really interesting. And this has been twice this year. I personally coach probably about 12 guys. And there was one time, I think it was like July, where every one of my guys was sleeping bad. Everyone. They're like, I don't know what's going on, but I wake up all these times. And we're like, oh, fuck, interesting. So it could be like, we're like, you know, we were joking, like, I must be the phases of the moon. And it sounds ridiculous, but like, it's very possible that there's something going on in the ecosystem of the world that we're just like, I don't fucking know what it is, but there's something going on in this world that, you know, if it can move the oceans, it's obviously affecting us, you know?
Full moon stopped here yesterday. So I don't know if that's a global thing. And Andrew laughed at me when I said that to him.
I said what? The moon stopped?
I said the full moon. So it was a full, it was like full moon and it ended the night before last. And he laughed
there
at me.
There you go. Dude, it sounds funny, but if it does, if it moves the ocean, it, you have to acknowledge that it affects us. I don't know how, but like it does. So I would, I don't know, man, like see if it still kicks around for a little bit longer. And if it does, then we'll look for deeper solutions.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
And so I want to just acknowledge one thing about this conversation around sleep, because everyone just acknowledged that I've only mentioned supplements one time. And most people, when they try to improve their sleep, what's the first thing everyone goes to? Take these supplements. Supplements are a very small, they're a lever for sure, but they shouldn't be your first lever, right? When I speak of levers, it's like, what lever can I pull to make a shift in this thing? Supplements work, but they're not the biggest lever. So if you guys, I could definitely give you guys some supplements you want to use that are useful kind of for most people, but it's not the first intervention. It's a Band-Aid for most people, right? Fix the big stuff. Fix the big levers first.
Ben, I have an idea. I know what you're going to say, but I think it'll be a good reminder for people, because there's probably some people on here where they're busy all day, they're doing stuff, and then they kind of justify either spending time with their spouse or whatever before bed, right? And so it's like the 30-minute Netflix turns into 90 minutes, and then you're not getting the best sleep. What would you say to that person if sleep is still an issue?
Like watching TV with the wife before bed?
Yep.
Man, I think it's interesting. So I would say it's a values conversation, and that's a conversation only everyone can have with themselves. I think, you know, what do you, as an example, when I'm with my children, they're my highest value. So if I go out and eat a pizza because I'm with my kids, that's my highest value. Like, and because that's one thing like they want to do and we connect over that, I'm going to choose that 100% of the time. And I think that just an example. And everyone's like, well, you eat pizza? I'm like, yep, I do. If my kids are like, hey, daddy, we're going for sushi, I'm like, cool. Because my family is my highest value, and being close to my kids is my highest value. So if you value your relationship with your wife and you guys find value in connecting at night, one, I would advise you to not do it in front of television, because it's not really connecting. Look for other ways. But if that's your highest value and you value that above sleep or health or energy, then that's okay. I'll never fight you on something you consciously decide to value above something else. It's like people, everyone's like, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be rich, but they spend their money on things that aren't assets or investments. But you don't value wealth. That's okay. You just need to be aware of your values and live within them, be conscious of them and accept them and realize they're going to guide your decisions. So if you're someone who's like, hey man, I want to watch Netflix with my wife till 10 o'clock. As long as it's conscious, as long as it's not mindless habit bullshit, you're like intentional about it. Like I choose to spend this time with my wife because this is how we bond. Then good for you. Live within your values. But if you're doing it because you're lazy or you're mindlessly watching TV, then you need to change.
That went exactly how I thought.
Yeah, but I think there's an acknowledgement that comes with that, which is like, in this specific example, if you do choose to do that, you do realize that you're not going to optimize your recovery metrics, which bleed over into optimizing testosterone release, growth hormone release, and then building the muscle that you ultimately said you wanted to build, or building the body that you said you wanted to build.
Yeah, maybe, right? So here's the rebuttal to that. I completely agree with you from a physiological state. However, you could also make an argument that says, if you're not investing in your highest value, which is in this case your wife or your partner, you're not putting that time in, that could actually even more negatively impact your recovery because you're living outside of your highest value. So like if I don't have the things in my life that I value the most, I'm not living my most inspired life. I'm not going to feel fulfilled. I'm not going to feel in alignment, authentic. So you could argue both. And I completely get you from a physiological perspective, but both are required. So you need the physiological, but you also need the psychological and the soul level, right? The soul level is like, this is the shit that my soul needs to be fulfilled. These are the things I value. And if I don't have those things, something just doesn't feel right. Does that make sense?
It does. But then when you have an emotional eater that seeks comfort in food, like your example of eating pizza and eating sushi with your kids is applicable and acceptable for you because you're consciously making the decision, but your energy expenditure in training and the commitment to your fitness in general will exceed the intake of those calories. If somebody here prioritizes their value of emotional eating, they're not going to be in the best position to drop body fat on the journey that they're on. True or false?
Yeah. Well, see, I love that you brought that up. So that's a very good point. And emotional eating is not a value. So that's the thing. It's like emotional eating is an escape. It's a coping strategy. It's not a value. So like, you're right. If someone is eating incorrectly and going, oh, it's just like, you know, like where the lines get blurred is I really value my social life. Therefore I need to go out and drink beers and eat donuts. That's bullshit. Right. So people are like, oh, my buddies are eating beer, drinking beer, and eating donuts. So therefore I have to. That's bullshit. That's just people rationalizing their habits. So yeah, there's definitely some nuance in there, Mons. I really appreciate you bringing that up because it's definitely not a clear cut line because some habits are definitely some values could definitely be rationalized that are definitely not values. They're just bad habits. Like drinking is not a value, right?
Yeah, but if you're like, you know, in the example of like, well, I value my time with my spouse, but my spouse drinks wine every night, let's say, and then I indulge as well, that's significantly going to impact my journey here at Muscle Intelligence.
That's correct. Yeah, dude, I love that. I love that, man. And I would say, yeah. And then you make an agreement with your spouse that says, hey, you know what? I committed because, guys, above all, your masculinity depends on commitment. Above all, your masculinity depends on commitment, integrity. And if you're living outside of that and you're like, hey, I made a commitment to this, your wife should understand and appreciate that. And yeah, so if you're like, hey, babe, I'm not going to do this because I made a commitment to the next 6 months to be with these guys in the coaching, then that's your commitment, man. That's your value in that moment because your values can shift, right? Your values can always shift.
Ben, you said something at the beginning of the call and you said it briefly and I wanted to kind of bring it up again, which was you were talking about your morning routine and sometimes morning meetings get in the way of something. And essentially you were saying you're already aware of it and then you have a plan following that, right? I feel like definitely for some people, as far as the being creatures of habit, having things like set in their day, like when I was in my early 20s, if something threw me out of my regimen, I was an asshole to whoever was around me, right? And something, I'll shout out Richard again, because he does this extremely well. His work is all over the place and he comes up with a plan B and he sticks with it. I feel like that's massive to be able to already be aware of having a plan after it. So.
Yeah. So there's some nuance of my example that I didn't specify. So if I wake up in the morning and I'm planning to do something and it's not, I'm like, oh shit, something came up, it's not going to happen. The only way that I allow it to not happen, as an example, I woke up this morning at 5:30. I was like, oh shit, I'm going to go to the gym at 6. And then something came up. I was like, I need to handle this now. The only reason I allowed that thing to interfere with my morning routine was because I looked at my calendar. I was like, oh, I can train at 12. I was like, I have 2 hours from 12 to 2. I've already had a contingency plan in my brain. I'm like, I can give up the 2 hours now because I have 2 hours then. So it was my first thing. I was like, because if I didn't have 2 hours later, there's no fucking way I was going to allow myself to get off track from that workout. Like nothing's getting in my way of that workout. So yeah, you're completely right. I had the contingency plan already like baked in.
Ben, that actually brings up something. Sorry. That brings up one other thing. So my client Nick that I mentioned earlier, same thing, like in regards to work, there's moments throughout the month where he doesn't know and the length of what's going to happen for his work. For example, he works super late one evening and then he has a early start time the following day. And so I know the answer depends, but I'm curious if you have like any further context. Like what I shared with him was, again, like over the course of the week, he's trying to fit all of his training in. But for example, like what would you say to somebody if they're kind of on the cusp when they wake up in the morning and they know that they're not going to have time in the afternoon and they might potentially need to sacrifice sleep? Like, what would you offer when they're asking that question?
Yeah. You know, the answer is going to be depends. I would say, so for example, if I'm sleeping well multiple days in a row, I'm like, okay, tonight I can sacrifice sleep. I'll be fine. If I'm sleeping like shit multiple days in a row, then there's no way I can sacrifice sleep. Right. So it's got to be like looking at the current circumstance and having the right information to make the right decision in the moment. I think that's the only way to approach it, is like, what is important to me right now? That's the whole point of a coach, man. It's like, coach, here's what's going on. What's important to me right now, right? How have you been sleeping the last 3 days? I'm sleeping great. Okay, great. No problem. You'll be fine sleeping 5 hours. Get back on track tomorrow. Got it. Right. It's like learning all the variables that you can consider and how you can ultimately get everything in the most effective way. Cause there's going to be days where sleep sucks. And you know, Andrew, we've all experienced it. Like you sleep well a few days in a row, you can sleep 3 hours one night and still be fine. Like three, 5 hours, you're good. But as long as you get back on the next night, you're good. If you do that 3 nights in a row, you're gonna know it. It's gonna be a problem. So yeah, great question. I think just like use your coach, leverage the team. We're here for you.
Oh, Ben, I got a question for you. And that's the
truth, Tom.
So ended up getting increase in meds, and so it's knocks me out longer because it's not used to it. And so it's my body trying to get used to it. It takes 3 months for me to get used to the new meds. But the problem is I have to take like my meds at a specific time, like 12 hours. But if I forget my meds, then the next day is shot, because like one night, I think this past night, I was like, what? Why am I sleeping? It's 1 a.m. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, didn't take my pills. Oh. And so, yeah. So the next day I got up probably around 6 or 7, but a little draggy and that stuff. And so should I just totally skip the workout and catch up tomorrow or start over tomorrow?
Yeah, man. So I don't know how much those things affect you. You know, it's hard to say. I think you're going to have to get used to it, right? Because if you're changing the dose on something, you got to get used to it, man. So you'll know the answer. Like, man, your health and your well-being is more important than any workout. So if you're like, hey, I'm not feeling great. So like, I know there's a lot that can be said about the making decisions based on your emotions. Mm-hmm. But like in your case, if you're like, I'm going to skip today's workout and make it up tomorrow, then man, by all means.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. That brings up the elephant in the room, right? I spend so much time probably in the last 6 months, just meditating on the idea of my emotions, my feelings, and my state never impact my decisions. My decisions are my objectives, I should say. My objectives are clear. My objectives are spelled out and defined out and written out. And I move in the direction of those objectives. I adhere to my schedule. I adhere to my plan. I'm not impacted by my emotions. I have a belief, and I'm curious if anyone else feels this way, and feel free to push back on this. That, and this is not a rule, but a generalization, that the most successful people in the world live their life objectively instead of subjectively, meaning I set an objective, I create a plan, and I follow through. There's definitely people who can be outliers from that. And subjectively basically means like, what do I feel like doing today? Like, oh, I feel like doing this. Okay, that can work. But I feel as though most of the people I work with, the most successful ones are objective. Anyone disagree with that? Think of the areas in your life where you're successful. Like goal, are goals a part of that? Like setting a clear, like, this is actually a useful framework. I just started thinking about this. You know, there's only three kind of types of people, right? There's the ones who don't set goals. There are the ones that do set goals and then hope they're going to get there, but they don't really plan. They just kind of like, you know, like, oh yeah, I want to go do that. It'd be nice. And there's the ones that set goals and then do everything in their power to follow through. So you're falling into one of three categories. And I think it's a very small percentage of people who just like set goals, create a plan and follow through no matter what. They burn the boats and go, I'm going all in on this. And I think you just kind of go, well, where do I fit? And our I think our objective as a team is to move everyone into the third column, right? We all have, like, many people sit in this column of like, I don't really know my goals. I don't really know where I'm going. I just kind of let the winds of life take me where it's going to go. And then some people are like, I have a goal, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Some people do. Some people don't. And the third one is what I hope I want to make everyone in this group is like, yeah, we set a goal. We're fucking doing it no matter what. And we support each other, you know, come hell or high water. That's kind of a mental framing for this community. If anyone's coming to the camp in Costa Rica, you'll see there's a shitload of camaraderie and there's a lot of pushing. And I always believe that men require a worthy adversary. Like when I train with the coaches, we get nasty some days, man. You guys are going to get witness to some pretty sweet workouts. It's like, I think men need a worthy adversary to really bring out the best of you, push your boundaries. That's a big, big goal of this community. Thanks, Keith. Andrew, what are you saying about energy being different?
No, I just mean about like when we're physically in front of each other and training and everything else, it's different.
Yeah, man. Like I get fired up, you know, I get fired up for a lot of stuff. All right, boys. Thanks very much for being here, guys. I appreciate you all. I'm missing this question. Welcome to the new guys, the veteran guys. Thanks for being here. Hey, Jimmy, I just want to acknowledge you, man. I see you here every week. Thank you very much, brother. Richard, same thing. Dominic, appreciate you guys. Thanks for always showing up and being loyal supporter. Spencer, same to you, man. Appreciate you guys. Oh, I don't want to miss Greg too. Greg's always in here as well. Okay, guys, have a great one. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we shall talk soon.